Palooza, the only comic book podcast that is always hot to go. I'm one of your hosts, Chance.
It's a comics and nerd culture podcast, and I'm your other host, Cameron.
Hello, Cameron.
Hello, Chance.
What's going on?
Oh, personally, not much.
Yeah?
You know, just living my best life as best as I can.
We're official. We're on the watch.
Which watch? There's a lot of watches.
Yeah, but like, there's one watch I feel like is bigger than all the watches.
Final Fantasy Tactics watch?
No, that's tomorrow.
Oh. Is this a movie that we're watching?
No.
A game?
No.
A TV show?
No. Cameron's Life of a Showgirl watch.
Oh, that watch.
Come on.
23rd. Huh? It's this Friday.
It's this Friday.
Oh my gosh. I'm just so unprepared.
We get T-Swizzle this Friday.
This Friday.
Yeah.
By the time this comes out, T-3 days. T-Swift minus 3 days.
Yeah, T-Swift minus 3 days. Exactly. We're excited for Life of Ophelia, for Opalite. Those are the only two I really remember.
Oh, I thought you had the list in front of you.
No.
I mean, the color of this era is orange.
It's true. And we went to OSU.
We did. Tough times at OSU right now.
Huh?
Tough times at OSU right now.
I guess
in the football, because that's all that matters.
Yeah, I guess in the football category. Yeah, I was listening to one of my favorite music critics today, and they told me that next week the charts are going to get really shaken up, not by Taylor Swift, because they can't be that fast. That'll be the next chart. But apparently, are you familiar with Tate McRae?
I've heard the name. Did she do a song? She did a song with what's-his-name, the bad country singer.
Sure.
Morgan Wallen.
Oh, yes, that is her song on the chart right now. But everyone...
Last night?
I don't have any idea.
Last night we let the liquor talk.
Isn't that from like a year ago? I guess the whole chart is from a year ago, except for K-pop Demon Hunter, so that doesn't matter.
And it was 21 Pilots for a little bit.
What was?
The charts. I feel like they were big on the charts.
I don't think 21 Pilots has been big on the charts this year.
They just had an album not too long ago.
Charts this year have been dominated by Die With a Smile, the Teddy Swim song, which I've never even heard. Ordinary by Morgan Wallen. Huh?
Lose Control. Their album, Breach, that just released a couple weeks ago, was number one on the Billboard 200.
Yeah, but like the single, I don't think any singles hit the top 100 or the top 10.
It all seems made up.
Yeah, because I don't know who's listening to Teddy Swim. I really don't. Perhaps it is the kids these days.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I have no idea who's listening to that. But with the exception of K-pop Demon Hunter, the charts have been really stale. But a lot of people are expecting this Tate McRae song called Tit for Tat to be quite popular. And I was like, oh, I'm excited. I've hated the charts for the last year. Like, let me go give it a little listen. I don't know what I heard. But it sounds like someone is singing with cotton balls in their cheeks.
Oh, okay.
My wife didn't like it because she couldn't understand the lyrics. I don't necessarily need to be able to understand lyrics to like music. No, it's whatever. But I don't want it to sound like someone is like just had their wisdom teeth out when they're singing. That's just not a good sound.
No.
I have spent some time trying to figure out why anyone thinks this Tate McRae song will do anything. Apparently, she is an influencer who turned pop singer, and her whole thing is that she is very attractive.
Hey, me too.
But, like, that's the whole thing.
That's my whole thing.
Yeah, that's your whole thing,
too. Why do you think I'm in an audio medium?
Yeah.
I want everyone to stumble because I'm so handsome.
your evangelical just came out there. And I'm wanting people to stumble.
You're welcome, everyone.
But yeah, so I just want to talk about Tate McRae real fast. If you understand Tate McRae out there.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Billboard 100 and it's not on the 21 Pilots. I've not listened to it. Apparently Billboard 200 is a different thing.
That's the album chart.
Yeah, they're the number one album.
Yeah, that makes sense. Unfortunately, Sabrina's album hasn't done as well as we like.
And number four.
Huh?
To number four.
Yeah, it was at number one for several weeks. Taylor's should be it for the rest of the year. It will likely remain at number one unless it just bombs. Which I think should be
people that the song Undressed.
Somber. 21 Pilots.
No, Somber. Have you heard that song?
No.
Is it? Billboard keeps saying I need to stop disabling my ad blocker. I'm like, I don't even know I have one of those. Undressed. Yeah, I like that song.
Somber is a band.
Uh huh. S-O-M-B-R. Somber.
I am not familiar with them.
It's good to see the Golden still at the top. The Hanmoon is strong.
Yes, Golden and Your Idol and Soda Pop both gained this week, which no one was expecting.
My kids love Your Idol.
It's great. It's one of the best songs on the album.
Every time we're in the car, they're like, can we listen to Your Idol? It's like, yes. It is very fun to sing along to.
Okay, I'm going to say
Your Idol.
I'm going to say something very mean. And I apologize to everyone who is a big Somber fan. Just from looking at this kid's picture, I know I don't want to listen to it.
I think the sound is good.
I haven't listened to it, but from this picture, this kid has nothing interesting to say. He's never had anything interesting to say.
It's like if you order Timothy Chalamet on Temu.
It kind of is like if you order Timothy Chalamet on Temu. I'm so sorry, Shane Michael Boos.
I'm sure he's a nice man.
I have nothing against you. Okay, maybe I have things against you.
Yeah, having listened to the song Undress and knowing that he's only 20 years old, it's sort of like when Paul McCartney wrote Yesterday. But it's like, dude, you have no idea what you're talking about.
I have not heard the song Undress. I cannot be a...
It's sort of like it's a breakup song, like out of a long relationship, and now you're having to move on. And the other person's moved on. And it's like, you're 20 years old. You could not have had a long relationship.
When did you start dating her in seventh grade?
What is this According to Panga situation?
So if you're a big Somber fan, I apologize. To be fair, I haven't heard none of his music. But just looking at
closely, maybe it's not a Timothy Chalamet situation. Oh, that picture there actually is very much.
It's very Timothy Chalamet.
Timothy Chalamet meets Van Morrison.
Okay.
He's sure. Harry Styles a little bit in this picture, at least.
He's never had an original thought. He's always someone.
The very first AI question when I Google it is Somber not Finn Wolfhard, the kid from Stranger Things?
Oh. This is not a child who has ever had any originality. He's a clone of many things.
Mm-hmm. We're sorry. We're not sorry, Shane Michael Boos. Come on the show. You're welcome.
Come on the show. Unless
there's a safe space for you, despite all evidence to the contrary up to this point.
Come on the show. You can quote The Office and all your memes at us.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
He may know a little Nietzsche.
Oh, gosh. This is a comic book show. And again, despite all evidence to the contrary. Oh gosh, this was needed. The way that it works, in case you've never heard a podcast before, or this podcast in particular, we have each read some comic books this week. Chance read a lot more than I did.
I'm coming with eight.
Only eight. Light week for him. Five. But we each picked the one that we think is the best. We're going to talk about it in depth a little more, kind of give a play-by-play. Mine's going to be fairly quick this week. And then we just go through the rest of our books that we read, and we talk about them briefly. And then on the back half, which is usually like a back third, we talk about some other topic. I think we have some listener mail this week.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe something else. You know, some major acquisitions that are happening in the world. I don't know.
We're really just going to dunk on Somber more. I mean,
yeah. Thank you for joining us for Somber Bros.
The Somber Hate Cast.
Somber Bashers.
That's not true.
Again, come on the show. Welcome anytime.
Welcome anytime.
I do quite like the song Undressed. I just don't know if you have the life experience
to really pull it up. You can read your favorite Robert Frost poem to us. We'll listen.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh. Okay, anyway. Who's first this week?
Kansas is up first.
I don't know if I pick this book a lot. I'm reading so many Superman books right now, it's hard for me to pick or figure out what I have and haven't had as my best book. So maybe this is a new take, maybe it's not. But Superman number 30 is my best book. This is the wrap-up to the Legion of Darkseid event. And I thought this is probably my best book because of expectations more than anything. Because I wasn't expecting a ton from this. Even though I've enjoyed every episode of it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I've enjoyed every episode or episode issue of it, I knew that it was wrapping up this week because of all the DC All In stuff. And I know that this is kind of the main lead in to All In. So it's just kind of expecting it to be a little rushed, to have a lot of like dangling plot threads. And I don't know, just not be very satisfying. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I really like it. We get an origin for the Darkseid Legion. It's a world where I think it is the future of the Absolute Universe. So that's kind of a bummer that they've got such a bleak future. But I guess it is a world without hope. What?
It is pretty bleak.
But without like hope to inspire her, Saturn Girl basically just became a psycho killer. And then Darkseid started speaking to her. She was so dangerous that her own people locked her up, but then she escaped and freed Cosmic Boy. And the two of them went around and recruited Darkseid's Legion together, who worship, they worship the end. They worship Apocalypse. They worship destruction. And this is by Joshua Williamson with art by Dan Mora.
Dan Mora.
Yeah, he's real good. It's real good art in this book.
He does good work.
But this picks up right after that kind of origin story, where we kind of see that Darkseid is like a force in this world. I don't know if the Absolute books have kind of touched on this a little.
Not too much, but I know in All In he like died.
Yeah, so he's like
really so.
He's like more of an energy or a force. That's like whispering in people's ears.
You know what they say? Darkseid is.
That's exactly what they say a lot in this book, actually. And then we cut to where we left off last week, our last issue, where Superboy Prime is betraying Superman. Saturn Girl looks into his head, and she's like, "No, you really screwed up. Like, this is fine. Like, you're a chaotic mess of a individual. Like, yeah, of course." Lightning Lad gets a little jealous and threatens him, but she's like, no, like he wants to bring about the end. Like it's all good. And then we get a really fun beat down of Superman. Superboy like headbutts him, and then Colossal Boy throws him into the ground. And then like Turok and I'm not 100% sure who that is, and Starboy all blast him into the ground while Saturn Girl is talking to Superboy Prime. Superboy Prime says, "This is going to be the most badass Superman and the Legion of Superheroes book ever." Which I just his fourth wall knowledge, and I just think that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But we learn that Booster Gold, because he was the one who went through the portal first, is filled with all this energy that they can use to go to any time and any dimension. And that he also is full of like Omega energy, that they can sacrifice him to bring Darkseid back. And then there's this really strange moment where it's like, where is Lex Luthor? And it shows like a monastery, like kind of in probably the Tibetan mountains or something, and a bald guy sitting there who I assume is Lex, and assassins are coming. They scream for Darkseid and attack him, but Lex beats them all into the ground, and then he walks out of the monastery. And that's it. That's the whole thing with Lex.
And they're in the Absolute Universe?
Huh?
They're in the Absolute Universe right now?
I think that was Superman's Lex.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Just because we haven't encountered, at least in the books that I've read, we haven't encountered Lex Luthor at all.
I would assume they are
to be the big antagonist in Superman's world.
Wait, what?
Ra's al Ghul and Brainiac are kind of the big two.
Oh, interesting.
In Superman. Now,
I'm pretty sure that that's a setup scene for DC KO coming up. I'm pretty sure that's what that is. But then we go to an evil Legion lair. They're stringing up Booster Gold because they've destroyed Superman. They don't have to worry about using him for his chronal energy anymore, so they can kill him and resurrect Darkseid. Superboy Prime goes to kill him, and Superman, of course, makes an empowering speech. And then Superboy Prime turns around with his heat vision and blows away a ton of the evil Legion. Because, of course, he does.
We all knew it was coming.
He does kind of, like, mock Superman a little bit, like, I have to do this because you can't. You could never kill these people, but I can. But I like that you can't because you're my hero. He talks about how he's inspired. He's only ever wanted to be him, and he knows he can't, but he can at least, like, he can at least make it so that Superman can do what he does best. He makes, there's a portal, and he uses his power to, like, break it open because he can, like, punch through the barriers between worlds. It's just the thing he's regularly doing now. And he flings Booster Gold into it and then tells Superman, like, hey, you need to be in there next. You need to go back to your time. You need to save it, and I need to stay here and make sure that this future doesn't come true. And Superman gives him a Legion ring and says, you know what? You really have earned this. Like, I'll fight with you and we'll go back together. And he's like, nah, it's my turn to be Superman and the Legion of Superheroes. So he pushes Superman through the portal and closes it behind him, puts on the Legion ring, goes and frees the other Legionnaires who the Darkseid's Legion have captured. And he says, now I get my Legion team up. And then they go to fight. We don't know what happens. Superboy Prime with the Legion ring on charges and says, long live the Legion, which is a great moment for me. And Superman shows up in the middle, or I guess the end of whatever the current Justice League Unlimited story is, with a dying Booster Gold in his arms.
No.
And it's just a really good character piece for Superboy Prime. He has this whole monologue about how he hates the Legion because they're goody-goodies, but he loves the Legion because they're just like him. They were inspired to do something greater by Superman. So it's just this really good moment for Superboy Prime. I know he got to redeem himself a little bit in whatever the Dark Knight's Metal event was, but this was just more of that. And I would not be shocked if this evil Saturn girl stuck around because they're really characterizing her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's getting quite a bit of backstory. So I'm curious to see what that ends up being. But it's a great book. I guess I kind of did some digging, and apparently all 30 issues of this Superman run have been pretty fantastic. So if you want to read some Superman, I know we had a question a few weeks ago about where to start. This Superman run really is fantastic.
Nice.
So that's Superman number 30, the conclusion of the Legion of Darkseid, which I kind of wish had gone longer, but it was a satisfying end.
Yeah, I feel like the inevitability of an event sort of doomed it, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I guess it was part of that event. It was always meant to be. Mm-hmm. But I do have hope that this is going to give us an actual Legion book someday. I would love a Superboy Prime and the Legion of Superheroes book.
It'd be fun.
So I have some hope that something will come of this.
Well, I hope it does. I'd read it. So my book is one I definitely talked about before. I didn't talk about the last issue, but I did 2 issues ago. It was my best book. And I feel like up until the last few issues, it's been sort of wishy-washy because I just felt like it never got to where it was going.
Uh-huh.
I feel like the proof of concept was there, but it never came together for me. I guess it was just dragging its feet. And so my best book is Hornsby and Halo number 10.
Oh, I feel like this is the thing. It kind of, it gets your, it's your best book and then it drags its feet and then it's your best book again.
Well, 2 issues ago, it was my best book because it was when they were doing the play and I was like, this is just great. And then the last issue, it wasn't like, this is bad. It was just like, it was good, but I think something else was just better. But in this, I just feel like structurally, the way that it's all set up is just really fun. And not like, this is our destiny, but we don't want it. Just like the refusal of the call for the fifth time, which is what I feel like it turned into. It's like, yeah, the fun first few issues with like the devil bikers and the zombies and all that. And then it was just like 4 issues of them being like, no, I don't want to. And then they still don't want to, but it's like hijinks, which I just think is fun. So in the last issue, it was like the town fair that they were in. And these two TV crews, Brick Boughton, Monster Hunter, and Mallory Miller from the show UFOs, they're already here. And I guess these are just web shows that exist in the universe. And they've come to the town just as they're like hunting the next big story. And you've heard about some weird things happening in kind of the town. And they see this big explosion because I'm blanking on their names. Rose and is it Nick? No. Zach. Rose and Zach like ended up, there's the angel and the demon like set off a big fireworks and they rose up in the sky to keep everyone from getting blown up by the fireworks. And it just like blew up in the sky. And these two TV people were like filming and they're like, wait, it looks like there's people in there. We got to investigate. And so this book is like their investigation. So it's really fun because at the beginning they are separate from each other. And so we have a lot of like, where it's just like parallel stories happening where Brick Boughton is pursuing Zach, not knowingly, but he's like, one thing went that way. We can't do both. We're going to go that way. We'll send the drone after it. And then the UFO show is following after Rose. So they're both like pursuing them. They've been blasted away by these fireworks in opposite directions. And they both kind of have that similar moment of like, oh no, I'm stuck. I'm like lost in the woods. This is all really bad. These drones start following them. Rose gets annoyed and like blasts it with fire.
Kill it with fire.
Because, you know, she's a devil. So she's kind of giving into that side. But she destroys it. Zach, nothing quite so dramatic. He just is trying to hide in the tree and ends up slipping. The branches break and he just falls on the drone and crashes it. But it is also funny, just like a little characterization, because like Rose has her phone and it just has like Siri directing her where to go because she's like lost in the woods. And then Zach is like, okay, well, there's the North Star, which means these are these two stars. And so based on that, this is where I am and I can find my way home. And he's like, guess the Cub Scouts was good for something, is what he says. And then we see the two TV crews, TV personalities. Their crews is a strong word. It's like the two hosts and they each have a camera person.
Oh, okay.
They're like driving in their vans and they cross paths with each other. And they're like, wait, I was doing that. Were you doing that? And they realize they're like pursuing the same thing. They both lost their drones. So something's definitely up. It's kind of fun. They have a bit of an antagonistic relationship. She's just like, or he's like, what if we team up? We can be detectives. And she's like, yeah, we can Cagney and Lacey this thing. And he's like, no, Starsky and Hutch. And she's like, Mulder and Scully. And so they just are kind of debating. And then we just see them like tracking down everything that's happened in the book so far. And they're like talking to people about the bikers, looking at the cemetery and the sword from the statue that was gone. And then it was returned. And it was snowing and someone stole my truck and just like talking about all this stuff. One little kid's like, it was snowing and there were zombies. They were chasing people. And the parents are like, kid reads too many comics, if you ask me. But then we see the human forms of the devil and the angel. And they're like, well, you should go check out the funeral home. Oh, and you need to go check out the community center, and like points them in that direction. And so they go there and they're trying to film the kids in their houses. Seems bad.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do that. And so like they go peeling off and Zach gets on his bike and is chasing after the monster hunter guy. And then Rose is back at the community center and she goes to take out the trash and gets confronted by the UFO lady. And she's like, you were filming me before. Are you filming me right now? And she's like, really very upset. And then Brick Bowden arrives and Rose is just getting more and more upset. But then Zach comes riding through on his bike. He's like, they're filming me too. And like crashes into them and breaks their cameras. And Rose is trying to break their other camera, like smash it on the ground. And both of them like grab her hands, the TV people do, to like keep her from bringing down the camera. And she like puts it all together that they've been following them and recording them. And she accesses her devil powers and makes them see like their worst nightmares.
Oh.
And we don't see them, but it's just like a moment like this where we just see they're like, ah, and then they're like falling into blackness. And then they're just like paralyzed. And then Zach like pushes them off of her. And then they're like, okay, we're sorry. We'll never do this again. Like we're out of here. And then both the TV people are talking to their crew and they're like, delete everything. Like we're getting out of here. Like this is a no, we're done. And then, you know, Zach and Rose are kind of talking about it. They work and fix Zach's bike. It's very funny. They both just like hit it until it gets back into shape. Mm-hmm. And then they're just kind of like sort of on agreeable terms with one another. Zach refers to himself as Rose's guardian angel as he rides back home. And it's very fun. And the next issue looks like a lot of fun too, where this is the cover at least, like the Headless Horseman.
Oh, yeah. So they can just more readily access their powers now?
They can more readily access them. It seems like when Rose gets really mad, she will do kind of crazy things. I mean, don't we all? Maybe not as extreme, but I mean, that's just a little bit more, I guess, of her nature in the first place. But yeah, I really like these two leads that we have. Mm-hmm. And just the differences of their lives, but the fact that they're kind of drawn together. And yeah, I've just had a lot of fun with it. And they just feel like kids, like the kids writing is really great. Peter J. Tomasi knows what he's doing, writing kids. And Ramon Box is our art on this issue.
Is he the regular artist?
No, I'm trying to think who the regular artist is. Isn't it Tomasi's the writer. Who's the regular artist?
I don't remember.
I don't think that's him, though.
Let me look.
Is it Ivan Reese?
That sounds right.
Peter Schneeberg.
That's the regular one?
I believe so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, those are our best books. Let us know if you read any comics this week what your best books are. Now we're going to get into book blurbs. I don't know a good way to do this, so I'll just start us off, and then when you run out, I'll just finish.
Okay.
So I know we have one that's the same.
I'm assuming we have one that's the same.
We might. I didn't get to one of my books this week because I fell asleep and misplaced it. Like, I was reading it asleep, and I misplaced it.
It's gone now.
And I think it was one of the ones that we were going to have the same, or at least possibly.
Okay.
My runner-up for best book is Superman Unbound, number 5. They're really killing it with Superman right now. If you're reading one Superman book, I would probably recommend this one just because it's such a contained story. But it's really quite terrific. The last week's issue kind of scared me because it was a little episodic with Superman turning into Man-Bat. But this one really advances the plot of this Kryptonite world plot. We really learn who the Kryptonite King is. We learn a lot of really interesting stuff in this one. And yeah, if you want to read one Superman book that's really self-contained and you only really have to read it, Superman Unbound or Unlimited, Superman Unlimited is a great way to go. And number 5 is a great issue. Almost the best book, but I love the Legion, so.
All right. Well, I don't think it was my next best book, but I'm going to talk about it. Immortal Legends Batman number 2. Is this the one you lost?
No, I have that one.
Okay. I mean, I enjoyed it overall, kind of getting a more of a sense of what's happening in the world. Mm-hmm. It still doesn't feel super Toku to me.
No, I was struggling with that as well. It's just not what I want it to be.
It's more just like sci-fi Batman.
Yeah, I guess it's going to be a whole bunch of different... Because the main villain's supposed to be Bruce Wayne, right? Like, a Bruce Wayne... Huh?
Wayne clone?
Yeah, it's like Bruce Wayne clones that turn into the villains.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I want to care that Batman has a robot butler called a Pennyworth. But it doesn't do anything. It just looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it... We spent an awful lot of time in this, like, doing the inner workings of a random gang. And I'm just not sure why we're doing
it. Yeah.
I don't need it to be constant fights, but I need more than this. I mean, you get actual Immortal Legend Batman for what? 5 pages?
8 pages.
8 pages. But one of those is him standing around.
Uh-huh.
So I want this to be more than it is so far. If you're gonna do a Toku action book, do a Toku action book.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want this to be more of a space opera, do a space opera. But this don't was call like it the
thing that it's not.
Huh?
Don't call it the thing that it's not.
Yeah. Well, I would be fine if it was more of a space opera, but it's not really that either, because both issues have been very focused on like one very mundane setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be anywhere.
Yeah, so far this isn't doing it for me. I love the concept. I love that Nightwing's suit can turn between the blue of Batman's suit and the red of Robin's suit. I think that's fun.
That was a visual change I really liked in the New 52, where they made Nightwing red, just because it was like in line, like Red Hood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Red Robin and Robin. Like, they all just had that visually looked really nice.
Yeah, all of the male sidekicks being red.
So, you know, I like Red Nightwing. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I like that he can change back and forth. I think it's nice. I'm not giving up on this book. Do we know how many issues it's going to be?
Not that I've seen.
I think if it goes on well enough and it establishes the world it wants to establish, I think it could end up being really good. Because I think they're doing a lot of world building right now. This is by Kyle Higgins with art by Matt Groom. Or no, Kyle Higgins and Matt Groom with art by Erica Durso and Dan Mora. The art's fantastic.
It's looking like it's 6 issues.
Is it 6? That's kind of a bummer that we're nowhere in 2 issues out of 6.
Uh-huh. Like a third of the way in, and it just feels very self-contained each issue.
All right, I guess mine's next. Another series I'm really enjoying, especially this week, is New History of the DC Universe number 3. This issue goes over all of my favorite things, so it's special to me. We go over pretty much all of the 80s and 90s. Just a few quick highlights. The Death and Return of Superman, Zero Hour. This book pretty much takes you from the end of Crisis on Infinite Earths to about 2010-ish. But they do tease Flashpoint in the next one. But it really does go through all my favorite stories. It talks about the story where Jon Stewart is working with the Legion and accidentally blows up a planet. This is where the Killing Joke happens. This is where Death in the Family happens. Those aren't some of my favorites, but they are like pretty
iconic.
Death and Return of Superman. They dedicate a whole 3 pages to showing that Milestone does exist in this world, which I'm very grateful for. So officially, the Milestone characters all exist in the DC universe, and they even say like the Dakota heroes disappeared, but I know that they're not gone forever. With the Death and Return of Superman, they go through Kyle Rayner and Hal Jordan as Parallax, Barbara Gordon becoming Oracle. They go through all the Zero Hour stuff, and Zero Hour and Identity Crisis were both just so wild. They really were like crazy things with like future versions of Hawk from Hawk and Dove and all of that. And it was good to remember all that stuff. They have a whole page dedicated to the Shadow Pack and the Secret Six, which are probably my two favorite. Like, if I were to pick up two runs from before Flashpoint, it would be like Rebels, Shadow Pack, and Secret Six. Like, they're just some of the best books that are out there. So if you really want to read some great modern but not too modern comics that are runs of teams of characters you've never heard of before, highly recommend those three. And they do a whole page here for Shadow Pact and Secret Six. So they're fantastic. It goes through the Sinestro Corps War and Blackest Night, ending with Final Crisis and Barry being back and how that's not actually a good thing. But again, this book, man, I cannot say it enough. It is entertaining. The art is great. And if you want to know what the current state of the DC universe is, this is the way to do it. Every issue is like, it's fun. It's quick. Yes, you're going to get more out of it if you have a near encyclopedic knowledge of pre-New 52 DC comics like I do. But I don't think you're going to brag. What?
Not to brag.
Who brags about that? I'm a nerd.
Probably a lot of people.
Well, they probably... Huh?
Not you.
I was just like, I say that as someone who grew up in the 90s and 2000s, but that was not something to brag about.
It was deep.
And this is written by Mark Wade with art by Dan Jurgens and Doug Mankind. And yeah, I just, like I said, get this book if you want an entryway into DC. And then if you're like interested in one of the things they talk about, you can email in and I'll tell you all about it. If I know anything about it. And if I don't, I'll tell you I don't know anything about it and I'll look into it.
Nice. All right. Well, my next book, which could have probably been my best book, when I think about it, because it was very great and has been consistently very great, is Absolute Wonder Woman, number 12.
I've heard good things.
And it honestly rules. Kelly Thompson still writing Hayden Sherman on the art for this arc. And it's just great. Like, we're just peak Diana of the mascara, but not of the mascara. The mystery of, like, what's going on with the Amazons is, like, the plot thickens as Diana rescues the one from the labyrinth. And as soon as she steps foot out of the labyrinth into, like, the rest of the world, she gets zapped away. But at the end of the issue, we find out that she's in the mascara. And the rest of the, like, Hippolyta is there. Everyone else is there. They're like, Diana's alive. And they're all, like, cheering and excited. And at the very end, we have the reveal, the kind of our shady government bad guys that are doing, like, Dr. Poison's working for them, all of those things.
Dr. Poison.
They have this facility of people that are prisoners, and we see, she's like, it looks like you're going outside after all, Zatanna. And, like, there's Zatanna all prisonered up, Hannibal Lecter style.
They're covering her mouth because of her power, I guess?
I'm assuming so, but she's being sent off to kill Wonder Woman. Which I'm assuming what our next arc will be. But again, just a fantastic story, top to bottom. Absolute Wonder Woman.
All right. A book I enjoyed a lot more than I thought it would, and made it way higher on my list. I normally organize my books based on how much I enjoy them. So the fact that it's coming as number four is pretty impressive, is The Mortal Thor.
Ooh, which one?
The Mortal Thor number two. I'm just really enjoying the dynamic of this book. It's just this guy named Sigurd, who I think we all suspect is Thor. And he's building a little family of like allies that are probably other Asgardians, but I'm not certain they are. One of them is for sure. Lucky is definitely Loki. And in this one, he's
going to be a stretch.
What?
That seems like a stretch.
Yeah, I know, right? In this one, in the last one, he will, a gang of like Thor worshippers, but they're not, they're like, they like the the toxic masculinity of Thor, not the like protector of Thor, were hired to break a strike, and he goes to take down the rest of the gang, and he does so by taking a sledgehammer, sawing off the bottom half, and tying a bungee cord to it so he can throw it and pull it back.
Huh. Wonder where you got that idea.
And he, it's brutal, but it's honestly a lot of fun. And I'm just enjoying where it's going. It's setting a cool tone. There's like a mystery, but the mystery isn't the point. The point is like Thor is still doing good things, even when he is, he doesn't know who he is.
Thor. He's still worthy.
Yeah, the Mortal Thor number two. We've got a fun reveal at the end too that I'm excited to see what happens.
My next one is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, number 2. That's a mouthful.
I still don't know why you're reading this book, but
I thought it seemed fun, and you know what? I was right. Because we've got Ninja Turtles morphing into Power Rangers. We've got Shredder morphing into a Power Ranger. Bebop and Rocksteady are still Power Rangers. There is Shredder as a green Dragonzord Ranger.
Yeah, I think he had that form before. I've seen that toy before.
But this picture here, let me find it, because it is everything. It's just the morphing, but with Michelangelo and Raphael
in there
as the red and yellow Rangers. And it's wonderful, and everyone should love it.
Silly as it seems, this is what I want Power Rangers Prime and Immortal Batman to be.
Yeah.
I want team-ups and
fights. This is why I stopped reading Power Rangers Prime, because it wasn't this.
I haven't decided if I'm stopping reading it. I literally didn't read the last one because I thumbed through it and it seemed boring, so I didn't get it. But maybe it'll get better. I don't know. I love a good toku, but I think people don't get toku.
Yeah, but this one they do. This one's good.
And it's crazy to say Kyle Higgins doesn't get toku. I don't know what he's doing here. Maybe it'll turn around. Anyway.
Maybe.
This book is what I was expecting to be my best book, but I didn't love it. I see a lot of potential in it, and that is Skinbreaker number 1 from
Image. I almost picked that one up.
By Robert Kirkman and David Finch. It's a cool world. It's like kind of a primitive warrior tribe, and it's like the politics within that warrior tribe. The only problem is it's real basic stuff. It's like there's an aging leader, and there's like an idealist who he trained personally but can't bring himself to kill him, and a power-hungry warrior who doesn't respect anyone and only respects power. And the whole book is just the leader trying to convince his protege to kill him so he can succeed him instead of that other guy doing it. And it's like, I feel like this is just kind of like Planet of the Apes, or like the new Planet of the Apes or something. Because everyone is like someone challenging Caesar for the leadership role. There was nothing in this I hadn't seen before.
That's how I felt like I almost picked up Escape number 2. I don't know if you picked up Escape number 2.
Escape number 2 is the one that I fell asleep reading and don't know where it went.
Don't know where it went. But I was just like, I almost picked it up, but I'm like, when I read the first one, it was just like, this is just World War II with dogs and bats.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't feel like it did anything. And I had a hard time keeping track of who was who. So it just, I don't know. It was just like, not that I need, I mean, there's not, you know, a bunch of fresh ideas anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And there probably never have been. It's all just the Odyssey and Star Wars. That's a bold claim.
Yeah. I would say there's a few archetypes, but yes.
But we have our archetypes, and we can play and subvert tropes and all of those things. But largely, it's like it's something I've experienced before, and it wasn't like fresh or interesting enough to keep me coming back.
Yeah. I mean, I trust Kirkman enough. I've never been the biggest Invincible fan, but Kirkman writes good stuff. I'll probably give this another couple of issues. Once they settle this, I don't know who's going to take over the leadership issue. We'll see what happens to it. There was just nothing interesting enough in this one to really get me going.
I have one last one. And I was a bit disappointed by it, because when you look at this cover, what sort of things do you think are going to happen?
Bullseye, Kingpin, Mr. Negative, Mysterio, which I don't love that Mysterio costume, by the way. But anyway, are going to fight Superman or Spider-Man.
You would think, and maybe possibly like defeat him. Bullseye's holding his mask. Spider-Man's not even really in this one. There's like a brief panel where he's in it. And that's, I mean, this is the only Spider-Man we see on the second to last page.
Oh, okay.
Like, this is just like a Mr. Negative story, largely. He's captured one of the people who are part of Mysterio, because Mysterio is like a group of five people that like trade off the power. But it's sort of more of a story about Mr. Negative without a whole lot of Spider-Man. And I feel like we're building towards like the climax of this story. I know we're definitely building towards the climax of this overall arc of the Ultimate Universe. But I just feel like nothing happened.
I saw like all those Ultimate Endgame advertisements or anything. Is that kind of the
end? Because that's like the maker was sealed away, but he's going to be unsealed, I guess, and things are going to be popping off, and that's like the Ultimate Endgame things that are happening, supposedly. Okay. So yeah, Ultimate Spider-Man 21. Was my favorite of the run.
I don't love that Mysterio suit. I just feel like it's like, what if Mysterio, hear me out, was edgy?
Yeah, I don't feel like he's normally super spiky. I don't know what that is. I don't feel like he's been that way.
Rapid firing my last two. These are the bottom, but it was a pretty good week for me totally. In total, is that the way to say that?
In totem.
But all new Spider-Gwen Ghost Spider. It's a cool book. I like we're really striking a really good balance between Gwen's personal life and her superhero life, which I always really enjoy when books do. I feel like it's a hard thing to get right. And it helps that it seems that whatever is going on is going after things that are in her personal life. So, the art is still fantastic. It's by, Stephanie Phillips with art by Paolo Villani. And it's still very fantastic and kind of that punk style, that kind of Spider-Gwen is known for. It's really good. It just wasn't special, mm-hmm. You know? It was just a good comic book story. On the lesser end of that, but still a book I do have hope for, at least right now, is Black Cat number 2. I really trust Willa Wilson, the writer, to be able to pull off a character like this really, really well. So I'm still sticking with it, even though the first two issues I haven't loved. Art is by Gleb Milnikov.
Oh, Gleb.
And it's simply a story about Black Cat trying, sort of succeeding, a lot of times failing to be a friendly neighborhood Black Cat. But she is still a thief, and she has never really done crime fighting. So she does things like accidentally free a vampire that her and Blade need to fight.
Whoops.
That vampire also, I have no idea what happens to them in this. They're fighting it. Daredevil shows up. They start talking about how they think each other's hot, and the vampire disappears. No clue what happened to that vampire. I don't know if it ran away when the cops got there.
Vampire.
I don't know if we beat the vampire, like, on the side. I have no clue. I really trust this writer, so I am not letting the fact that I have not enjoyed the first two issues kill it for me. But yeah, three or four, maybe.
Is that it?
That's it.
Uh-huh. All right, we did it.
We did it.
Well, there we go. So that is the end of our first part of our show.
Yeah.
We're going to take an imaginary commercial break and then be right back with the action.
I'm so glad that we got bought by the Saudi royal family. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I have to pay $4,500 for a new garage door, so I'm grateful to the great king of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, they're not. We promise that they will not change our speech at all. That being said, they've never done anything wrong. Definitely don't kill random journalists.
No, Jared Kushner is my best friend.
Yeah, Jared Kushner is great. We're big Kush heads over here.
But not in that way. We would never do that.
No. We're Muslim now, actually. So, no.
If the king of Saudi Arabia wanted to pay for my garage door, I would. He could do that.
Did you run into it with your car again?
No, but it's... Thanks for putting me on blast. It's just very old. It's original to the house, so it's like 30 years old and just not doing well, and it just broke.
Mm.
But it's at a point where it's like in bad enough shape just from wear and tear and me hitting it with my car that...
Very slowly.
The slowest you could possibly do it.
I'll never forget because you were coming over to record the podcast. You're like, I just ran into my garage.
Yeah. What happened was I needed to run in and get something. I pulled into the driveway. I thought I put it in park. I did not put it in park. And it just idled its way slowly forward into the garage door.
Which I didn't even know it could do. You say you like got distracted by something inside and you like sat down to do it?
No, the garage door was opening. I was typing in the code to get it to open. And I look over and I'm like, the car is moving forward. And then I could have probably stopped it if I didn't try to push the car back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's your thought. If I'd have just like opened the door and hit the brakes, it wouldn't have happened.
I don't know or remember why, but the way I remember you telling the story, and it's probably wrong, is that you went inside, you got distracted by something, and then you heard it like crunching into the car.
I watched it happen. I also got you a drink at McDonald's that in the hubbub got knocked over and spilled all over my car.
Oh, fun. So
I owe you one Coca-Cola.
Yeah. You still haven't paid that back.
No. So the king of Saudi Arabia bought me a dollar. I can get a chance to drink from McDonald's.
You haven't been to McDonald's for a while. That inflation's hit them hard. There ain't no dollar sodas there anymore.
That's a real shame. That was an institution for a long time.
I know. They've forgotten who they are.
They lost their way.
Yeah. It's our place to remind them who they are.
Yeah. So Ray Kroc, I know you're listening. He's dead, right?
I have no.
Most assuredly, Ray Kroc is dead.
Is that the founder guy?
The inventor of McDonald's, yes. Oh, yeah. He's been dead longer than I've been alive.
Okay. Good.
Good.
I assume. Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
I guess I'm just coming for people today. I'm just coming for them.
Anyway, we do have some people that wrote in. I'm going to go over to Blue Sky and see what was written to us. A couple of things. First, we got a message from Madcapper15. I believe it's written into the show before.
Ooh.
Said, hey guys, I wanted to suggest checking out Image Comics' No Man's Land. Are you familiar?
No.
Me neither, but it sounds interesting. So he says, set in 1963 with an FBI agent heading to Alaska to investigate a murder of an unidentified woman in No Man's Land in the Bering Strait. And that was all.
Let me check it out.
Sounds interesting. I'm looking it up right now on the old League of Comic Geeks, not sponsored.
Oh, it's like coming out right now.
No Man's Land. Why is it showing me all Batman?
It came out last week. I think I did see this. I think I ended up not getting it just because it was a big week.
That eyeball looks scary.
I really have been enjoying just random Image series,
mm-hmm.
lately. So I'm definitely not opposed to reading. Does he say anything about it?
No, that was it. Just telling us what it was. I mean, it makes sense being in 1963. We're at the height of Cold War times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, seems like it'd be a good time. It seems like it was received pretty well.
Yeah. It's a name I recognize from Punisher books, the writer.
Simon Kudrowski?
Yeah, I don't know if he's done a famous run. When I saw that name, I was just like, ah, Punisher, yes.
Punisher, yes, of course.
I don't know if that is what he's most well known for. I just remember for some reason.
Yeah, not sure. No idea.
Oh, he did some of the all in Action Comics.
Nice. But it seems I don't know if fun is the right word. It seems interesting.
Oh, we may check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Did he really? No, maybe. I'm not sure if he's the writer. I'll have to look into it a little bit more. But there was a Batman Detective Comics run that I really, really wanted to love. That was like Batwoman, Batwing, Spoiler, Tim Drake, and Clayface as like a team of Gotham protecting heroes. It's kind of like a Justice League of Gotham.
A Justice Gang, if you will.
And it looks like he may have written that run, which unfortunately I did not love that run as much as I wanted to. I think it just got bogged down by events and all of the directions that Batman gets pulled in. But yeah. Okay. All right. We'll check it out.
All right. And then we got a message from Majin Silva in response to last week's episode about music. And so he gave us his top five. So are you ready for it?
Yes, please.
Okay, number one, Dream On by Aerosmith.
It's a good choice. It's a good choice.
Strong choice. Really like that one. Number two, Let's Groove by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Again, can't fault it.
Number three is Be My Lover by La Boche. I can think of when I hear that song is Spice Girls. So I don't know. That's clearly not what he's referencing. But I'm not sure what that one is. That's my own. Do you know that one?
I don't.
I'm going to look it up and play a bit on the show.
We'll get demonetized. No!
Saudi government has it. So don't worry.
Oh, of course. That's all I needed to hear was the da da dee dee da da da. Guess I just didn't ever know the words.
The words are the da da dee dee da da da. Number four, In the End by Linkin Park.
In the end, it doesn't even matter.
Chance, we're getting demonetized. That was exactly the right thing.
I know, right?
You just played it. And then number five, a constant favorite of mine, In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
Yeah, it's not my favorite Phil Collins. I like Another Day in Paradise more.
My favorite Phil Collins is the entire Tarzan soundtrack.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
He had no right to go that hard.
He had every right to go that hard. Because can we just be honest? Wasn't a great movie.
Yeah, fairly mid movie, but the soundtrack was bumping. He also gave us a couple honorable mentions. Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses, as well as I Was Made for Loving You by Kiss.
Yeah, those are solid. Those are some pretty solid classic rock standards. Not the la-da-dee-dee-da-dee-da ones, but...
Yeah, that one's not.
I've already forgotten its name. It can't. It doesn't have a name.
It's just the la da dee dee da da da, which is why you like it. And he also said he doesn't mind U2. He listens to quite a few of their songs.
Yeah, I love U2.
Because U2 is an institution.
Looking up the guy who wrote No Man's Land, have no idea why I so strongly associate him with the Punisher, because he wrote a ton of things that I've really loved over the years. I Vampire. Several runs in the New 52 Justice League. He's written a lot of stuff. He's written some Punisher, but I don't know why that's Punisher is the first thing that came to my head.
Oh, he did some American Vampire, a more recent American Vampire, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. But he's got a lot of great stuff out there.
I really enjoyed American Vampire, what I read of it.
Yeah, it was good. I read the first two trades, I think.
Oh, he did a lot of Batman.
Yeah, he's done a lot of great stuff. The New 52 Green Arrow run, I don't know how much he actually did of that, but pretty much the entire New 52 Green Arrow run was pretty fantastic. So,
oh, nice. It is funny because on when you check on his comic creator page on League of Comic Geeks, it says he's a comic book artist famous for his work on The Punisher.
Oh, I don't even see that much Punisher in here. I don't know why that's what I associated him with.
Well, it is alphabetical, so maybe you just haven't gotten down that far.
Well, it may be because this run, I don't know if he did this whole run, but this 2019-2018 run that he is credited on, I don't know if he did
the whole thing. That's the only Punisher book on here.
I think it was pretty famous. I don't really know if it was, but he did a few like Punisher team up books. That's what I think I recognized his name from mostly, like the Punisher and Daredevil, the Punisher and Spider-Man. But he's done a lot of great stuff. The New 52 Constantine run, which was fantastic. It's one of the last comics I read before I left comics.
And now you're back. Just drawing you back in. Yeah. All right. So there were those messages, though.
We have a message from Terrace, our friend.
Our friend Terrace.
Let me pull it up. He said, creating a top five list of songs is hard, but here are his. He has his honorable mention is First Day of My Life by Bright Eyes, which I can't picture.
Don't worry. We're already copyright stricken, so.
Yes.
First Day of My Life?
First Day of My Life by Bright Eyes, which I can't picture.
Turn around. That's not it. Service. Sorry, it's an ad. We're not getting paid for this ad.
No, we're not. Cut it out. I'm not instantly recognized.
Me neither. I'm going to skip ahead. That doesn't help.
No. I mean, it's a fun guitar riff.
I'm sure it's lovely.
Yeah, I'm sure it's lovely. I think I recognize most of these. Lost by Bring Me the Horizon, which is not a song I've listened to like regularly, but it is a song I've heard. I enjoy Bring Me the Horizon. Terrence may have introduced me to them. I'm not certain.
Bring it to me.
Misery Business by Paramore.
I'm sorry, I'm singing the song.
Yeah, you are. All of our friends in college really loved Paramore.
Love one album.
I liked Paramore. What was the one that you always listened to that I always made fun of?
I didn't listen to it, but you would always say, "Ignorance is your new best friend."
I would do that one.
Yeah. That was Adam. That was our friend Adam.
What?
I was singing what you were singing.
You had one too that I liked to dunk on. I don't remember.
You always would dunk on my music
too. Oh, it was Need to Breathe. It's definitely Need to Breathe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I've just never been a Need to Breathe head.
No. He doesn't need to breathe.
No. Actually, I'm very bad at it. I have asthma. I can't breathe out of my nose 95%.
Actually, he needs to more than a normal person.
A Lot of Years by Aesop Rocky. I was going to say Aesop. Which I think I know, maybe.
How do you pronounce that?
A-E-S-O-P Rock. Aesop Rock. I don't know why I said
Rock. A-S-A-P Rocky?
Huh?
Is that a person that exists, though?
I think so.
With the A with the dollar sign?
Yeah.
AP.
I think that's who I was doing. Excuse me for just a sec. Sorry, I had to clear my throat. Okay, I'm back. Mr. November by The National, which I've never liked The National, Terrace. I'm so sorry.
He's not sorry.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you're right. And then Sharpest Lives by My Chemical Romance.
My Chemical Romance.
So, yeah, those are none of those really surprised me for you, Terrace.
Have you heard the domino effect of September 11th through the firing of Ellen DeGeneres?
No, I guess not.
This is relevant. This is relevant. Because in September 11th, 2001. a young Gerard Way witnesses the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and is inspired to start a band called My Chemical Romance. My Chemical Romance is enjoyed by one Stephanie Meyer and decides to write Twilight, kind of influenced by some of the music for My Chemical Romance. A very famous fanfic from the Twilight universe that became its own thing was 50 Shades of Grey. It began as a Twilight fanfic. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that.
Okay. It feels like it's common knowledge. The movie, Dakota Johnson, famously in that movie, Dakota Johnson goes on Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen makes a joke and gets called out by Dakota Johnson saying, "No, you never invited me to whatever or whatever." And everyone realizes, oh, Ellen DeGeneres is actually not a very nice person. And she ends up, the show gets canceled. September 11th causes Ellen DeGeneres' show to get canceled.
Thank you, Gerard Way.
Bada bing, bada boom.
I didn't know that Gerard Way was the writer of The Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, didn't know that
from the beginning.
He also wrote a very well-acclaimed run of The Doom Patrol, which is a team I have a great love for.
I mean, I feel like that makes sense, similar to The Umbrella Academy and its weirdness.
Go Gerard Way. It's My Chemical Romance isn't the Stillwater Band. Which one is the Stillwater Band?
All American Rejects.
All American Rejects. Same thing. Literally the exact same.
Yeah. Interchangeable.
Yes. If you're wondering out there, my friend Terrace is still a 2000s emo kid, and we love him for that. Stay a 2000s emo kid, Terrace.
Yes. Don't ever change.
There's nothing wrong with that. You're right. All American Rejects is the Stillwater Band.
You just double check me?
I just wanted to remember. I know that our friend Matt Miller went to high school with them, or one of them, or however many.
On their first album, one of their biggest songs that's talking about negatively about an authority figure was famously about a teacher at Stillwater High.
Oh, didn't even know.
Yeah.
I've never really divvied in. I know they did Swing Swing, right?
Uh-huh.
That's the one I know.
That might be the song. That might not be.
Oh, they did Dirty Little Secrets, too, now that I'm looking down.
Move Along.
Oh, man. Go Stillwater.
We got good things there.
Yeah. You know what? All American Rejects, my new favorite band. Get out of here, you two.
They're an institution. This summer they did an ad campaign with Slim Chickens.
Oh, fun.
That's how you know they've made it.
It looks like they actually had an album come out just this year.
Probably in relation, it's probably all about chicken tenders.
It's probably all about chicken tenders.
Some say they sold out. I say they sold in.
They sold in. You know, this is a random thing, but I think it's a good B segment. One of my least favorite pieces of food criticism, like my very least favorite pieces of food criticism, is when people try Raising Cane's and they're like, "It's not good chicken without the sauce." That's why they don't give it to you without the sauce, you nincompoop. Like, what are you talking about? That's like saying, like, "Oh, this marinated chicken is not good without the marinade."
This Alfredo pasta, fettuccine Alfredo, if it didn't have the Alfredo sauce, it's just noodles. Garbage. Yeah.
What are we doing? They give you the meal with the sauce. Like, what is that criticism? Like, it's just bland chicken without the sauce. Yeah, then don't eat it without the sauce. Like, what? We're done here.
Is this is our B segment?
It is now.
It's powerful.
It's a random thing I thought about because you brought up Slim Chickens and that made me think about Raising Cane's. Mm-hmm. Just recently, someone's like, "I just don't go to Cane's. Their chicken isn't good without the sauce, but the sauce is pretty good." I'm just like,
"They give it to you. What? They give it. I would say they give it for free. They don't. They charge you for more, but it comes with it."
Yeah,
they would never give you sauceless chicken.
Like, I am not the world's biggest Cane's fan, but I do like it, and
it's pretty good with ketchup too.
Yeah, their chicken's fine with ketchup. It's great with the Cane's sauce. It's just such a stupid criticism. You always see it on TikTok. People are like, "I'm trying Raising Cane's for the first time. First without the sauce. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of bland." I'm like, "Yeah, that's because that's not the way you're supposed to eat it.
Because there's no sauce."
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? You are fundamentally not doing what they want you to do.
That's funny.
No, we have one more message, and that's the end of our B segment, because Majin Silva did write us that you told me and ask us if I forgot to read his last email, and I definitely did. It happened on one of the weeks we had to miss, so I apologize, because I did totally forget about it. But he says, hey guys, friend of the pod and kind of third co-host, which I think is fair.
It is fair.
So I just want to say that you guys need to stop mentioning wrestling on the podcast. I don't remember why we mentioned wrestling on the podcast. I'm so sorry.
It's been a long time.
Listening. Yeah, that's it. I'm so angry about the Canes thing. I can't read. Listening to last week's episode, you guys mentioned wrestling and my ears perked up and went, they mentioned wrestling. Does this mean they're going to end up watching it soon? Speaking of wrestling, you may enjoy the fact that there is a ton of crossover between wrestling fans and comics. A ton of wrestlers are fans as well, and will even cosplay as certain characters. I'll include some pictures of some that have. The first one, he no longer does it now, now that he's in the WWE, but when he was indie under the name Prince DeVitt, he usually painted himself to look like various characters. The Hurricane was a more comedic character, which the Hurricane is a great name. Just throwing that out there. The wrestler himself even has a Green Lantern tattoo. Down the line, he even got a sidekick named S-H-I-T, or Superhero in Training. Oh, okay. I get it now. Took me a second. Like, where's the H come from?
In the least funny way.
What?
You said that in the least funny way.
Do it for me.
A sidekick called The Shit. Or Superhero in Training.
Oh, yeah, I should have. It was an acronym, so I just wanted to...
Yeah, it's an acronym that you're supposed to say.
Okay, you're right, you're right. The third one you have, Jade Cargill, who cosplays as Storm a couple of times, actually. Both times, she's done very well.
It's a really good Storm.
And finally, Rey Mysterio as the Joker. I'm pretty sure this was from WrestleMania. Hope to hear you guys check out AEW sooner rather than later, especially since they're starting to pick up again. The stories have been quite good lately. Still deciding whether to try to get back into the comic world since there's so many to
choose from. Can you read?
I'm struggling, man, to choose from these days. Hope all is well with you guys. All right, let me look at these pictures because you've got to.
I need to apologize.
What?
I need to apologize. That was really mean of me.
You know, I really deserve it. I really came for some people this episode.
This is for all the food critics of Raising Cane's. No, not them.
We've just been having a good time.
This is for Saudi Arabia. No, not them either.
Not them either.
This is for Jared Kushner. No, definitely not him.
I really enjoy the playing card in the Joker's pants in this one. That one's a lot of fun. The Storm is good. I'm not sure what the green hero is. Maybe just like generic superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And then this like mouth one is terrifying. I wouldn't fight that guy. I'd be scared.
Suppose he's going for a Venom.
Venom
look.
Yeah, probably.
It's a good look.
When we get some time, we'll really try to watch some AEW. I just don't know when that's going to be.
Sometime.
Cameron, are you going to get any of the Spider-Man magic cards that are coming out this Friday?
Probably not. I'd pay $4,500 for a new garage door. I don't know if you heard me say that.
That's true.
So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe a pack or two.
I know you tend to struggle not getting those. So.
The Final Fantasy ones, I did end up getting some, and I did not regret it. But Spider-Man, I don't know.
What, like, art-wise and aesthetic-wise, what did you like more, the Final Fantasy Magic cards or, like, the Final Fantasy TCG cards?
I think I enjoyed the Magic cards more.
Mm-hmm.
The MTG cards did, not MTG, TCG, did some interesting things, but I feel like the magic the gathering cards were like playing the hits in a lot of ways, while the other card game was like, I don't know what a lot of these things are.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you don't know. We don't know anything about them.
Well, I mean, they're still Final Fantasy, and they're from Final Fantasy games, but they're like deep cuts, not even like mainline Final Fantasy games.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So there was that going on. So everything was, it even said at the bottom, like, it's from this game, but it was not necessarily, you know, it wasn't like all from numbered Final Fantasy games.
Interesting. I have never enjoyed, like, super enjoyed Magic's art style. I really like the full art of the TCG cards quite a bit better. The windowed art of Pokemon and Magic is just not my favorite. I feel like we've grown past it.
I do like a nice full art. That is true.
So that's when you sent me those arts of the ones you liked, I very much enjoyed.
I did appreciate they were full arts. That is very true. I do like when I get a nice full art Magic card or Pokemon card. I do wish that was more the norm.
But you've just got so many games that is the norm now. Mm-hmm. You've got Digimon, you've got Card by Vanguard, you've got this just TCG game. So I just don't know why are we rejecting full arts?
We're just limiting ourselves.
I forgot. I'm looking at the ones you sent me now. I forgot about these like kind of cave drawing ones. Those are fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Final Fantasy IX ones?
Uh-huh.
Like Freya and what's his name?
Arment.
Yes. Yeah, those are cool. Sort of like almost like mosaic, like you'd on a wall of a temple or something.
Yeah, it really reminds me of like the little icons they use for Monster Hunter Monsters.
Oh, I do love those. But I think, yeah, we had a few people write in, which isn't always the norm, and tell us their favorite songs. Do you have a favorite, five favorite songs that you just haven't written in yet? Do it. Write in. It's not too late. And you can reach out to us, as people did. They reached out to us on Blue Sky at comicspalooza.bsky.social. And they also emailed us at hotcomicpulse@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
So we would love to hear from you. Who knows? It might turn into an entire B segment, as it just did.
We're just riffing. We're having some fun.
We're just riffing, you know, just staying loose.
And yeah, do you want to review Canes for us? We'd love to hear your review of Canes. Big Somber fan, let us know.
Mm-hmm. You mean Diet Timothy Chalamet? I'm going to stop saying from Timu and start just referring to things as diet version.
It's the same from Timu, kind of like, is there kind of an oriental bias like there?
Maybe there's a little bit of that. I mean, have you looked at Timu though?
I haven't actually.
Not the most high quality product. And there is a bit of like, I ordered this and I got like a much worse version of it than I was expecting.
Okay.
So
I've never partaken.
The joke used to be like you got it on Wish, which was a similar thing.
Yeah, I remember Wish a little.
There's probably a little bit of like anti-Asian-ness to it. So I'm just going to say diet from now on.
Yeah, yeah.
Diet.
Learning lessons in real time.
Diet Timothy Chalamet. Timothy Chalamet is zero.
Want to be hipster Timothy Chalamet.
You could say that. this is going to bring us to Uncle's One More Thing.
One More Thing.
Which is our final segment of our show where we just each talk about one more thing that we're enjoying. Usually not comics related because we've already talked about all of that. But I'm up first this week and I'm going to bring a TV show that I just started watching with my wife. Because we're like, we need to watch more shows together because we really don't. But we started watching The Pitt on HBO Max. Are you familiar with The Pitt, Chance?
Not even slightly.
Not even slightly. Are you familiar with a little show called ER?
I know that ER exists.
Okay. Well, it's in the way that video games can have spiritual successors. This is like the spiritual successor to ER, but if it had a baby with 24.
You're making this sound terrible.
No, but it's good. So it's a medical drama that takes place in an emergency room in Pittsburgh. And the setup of the show, because, you know, if you've ever watched like Grey's Anatomy, House, even ER, which doesn't sound like you ever did. Typically, you know, the episode might follow like a particular case or a few different patients and kind of their things that are going on. And like, that's the episode. And it can be like a day or two at the hospital or like Scrubs, you know, where it's like each episode you have different patients that they're working with. But in The Pit, it is just following one shift, one 12-hour shift at the emergency room at this hospital in Pittsburgh. And so like episode one is like the first hour of the shift, similar to 24 in structure, not in terms of like all these limp-wristed bureaucrats aren't going to save us, so we need some like real strong, rugged man who's going to actually get business done. Not in that regard.
Yeah, and his name is Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. And it's about time.
I'm kidding. Don't clip that, please.
His name was Jack Bauer. But so it's just like following these things. There's like some interpersonal conflict and everyone kind of has their own things going on. There's a bit of like, I mean, this is post COVID, but there's just that trauma of like working in an emergency room during COVID, that kind of rears its head just based on some things happening in the show. But it just feels like it's very intense. And my wife works in a hospital. The hospital she works at now is nothing like this, because this is just like, oh my gosh, this is nonstop. Like, oh, now this person's coming in and this is happening and this is happening. And it's like episode two and I'm like crying as the main doctor, Dr. Robbie, has to tell these parents that their son is brain dead because he took some pills with fentanyl in them. And it's just like very heavy, but also like very good television. And it's just like these characters and all their rough edges and all their glory, just throughout this hospital shift at a very understaffed, overcrowded emergency room. It won 5 Emmys.
Oh, okay. Love it.
It's called The Pit, P-I-T-T.
I'm not going to lie to you. Nothing you said endeared me to the show, but
it's quality.
You and your wife aren't me, so that's okay.
We're not.
I watched like 3 episodes of House and couldn't stand it. Tried to watch 24 like 10 times and never cared.
Well, ultimately, it's not like either of those things. the main doctor, who I believe was a character, he did play a character on ER. He just feels like a good doctor. Not like The Good Doctor, which is different.
Sure.
There's a lot of medical shows. But I feel like this one differentiates itself. But he just feels like a good person trying to do the best that he can.
Good job, Doctor. That should be the name of the show. Good job.
Dr. Robbie.
I am not engaging in a ton new right now. I am watching Demon Slayer with my wife.
Hey, me too. Not with your wife. Just yes. With myself.
After you guys watch an episode, we watch an episode. It's crazy.
Okay, Nikki. We're going to both push play at the same time while we voice chat. While we do what is it called?
With so many different people during COVID, actually did that. Like, all right, and play. And then you play it and you text each other during it. I did that with several people during COVID. That was the thing.
You never did it with me. That's hurtful.
It's true. I should have. I think you only watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine during COVID, though, right?
I watched a lot of Community. I think I watched through Community 2 times.
Probably. That makes sense.
2 entire times through the entire show.
I associate all my friends being obsessed with Brooklyn Nine-Nine with COVID.
I don't know if it was during COVID.
May have been right after.
I think it was before. It's not important.
The association I make. So I'm not engaging with a ton new right now. But one thing my wife and I are doing once a week, every Wednesday.
My wife.
Yeah, exactly. Is we are watching The Great British Bake Off. Yes, we are 3 episodes in. There has not yet been a character that really sticks out to me, which is kind of a bummer. I normally latch on to a favorite very early, ever since Peter, my precious boy Peter,
mm-hmm.
Who I pulled for that whole season. There's a lady from Ukraine that is very difficult to root against, so she's kind of my front runner right now. But it's delightful television. I don't think, you know, people are always wanting their hot takes about things like losing a step. And Great British Bake Off's made some mistakes. They shouldn't have done Mexican or Japanese Day.
No.
They did those very badly.
Yeah. I'm so mad what Paul Hollywood described a s'more.
Yeah, that was bad. the s'mores they made were bad.
I don't care much about my American heritage, but that one, I was ready to dump all the tea in the harbor.
Oh, it's true. But I don't think the show's lost a step. It's still delightful. I really like Allison. I think she's my favorite of the Noel counterparts that there have been. And I'm a Noel lover. I don't think it was better when the other two hosts were there. I think Noel has really killed it.
I enjoyed Sandy. Was it Sandy?
Yeah, Sandy.
I enjoyed Sandy. I didn't like the other guy quite as much.
I like Matt, but I do like Allison more. So I think she's a really good counterpart to Noel.
Nice.
They are going a little elaborate with the openings lately. Like the part where it's just Noel and Allison like doing some kind of skit. They're going a little elaborate with those lately. And I'm like, shorten those up 30 seconds and we're golden.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am just, every time we're going to watch it, I get excited. Because I'm like, I'm just going to chill. I'm going to chill out. I'm going to watch a lot of
these British people bake some.
Yeah, and watch them just all be nice to each other. Mm-hmm. I love when something's going wrong, no one's smiling, no one's happy. Everyone's like, oh no, how do I help?
Your souffle collapsed. Drat it all.
So yes, I am watching the Great British Baking Show, or the Great British Bake Off, whichever you want to call it. I'm going to start listening to Bake On again, which is Travis McElroy's recap podcast with his wife about it. I'm excited to hit that back up again and just really get lost in like my favorite time of television. It is the only reality show we watch. It's the only one I need.
It is.
You're not watching the season?
No, we don't have Netflix.
Oh, okay. Because of password sharing?
Uh-huh. You know, not for any principled stand.
we've gotten rid of Disney Plus because of principled stands.
Good for you. We didn't. We still have it.
I don't think anyone should. That's anyone's thing.
Nobody's business. Yeah, we were, Sarah and I were like, maybe we should have canceled it. But by that point, they'd already brought him back.
Well, I don't really necessarily even care about Fallon like as a thing. It's like ABC and Disney keep caving. They keep just like settling because they don't want the smoke. I think that sucks.
Uh-huh.
And the ads are just unbearable, I think. I think they've added so many lately. We watched through all of Scrubs on there, and the ads drove me crazy. I really wanted to watch Bleach, because that's the only place where it is. There were so many ads for a 30-minute show.
There are quite a bit. That's where I watched King of the Hill, and there's a lot of ads.
So,
the Dodge commercial about the only thing Americans can not do is stop being American.
Yeah, that one
drives me absolutely insane.
And it's about like electric trucks, right?
I don't know. I haven't paid that much attention because I'm so
yeah. And they've started playing an ad for like a super conservative like governor for Oklahoma.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
They were playing it when we were watching Scrubs, at least.
Which is funny because I'm watching King of the Hill that it's not showing me.
It's not coming for you. You haven't seen the ad? It's like China and Iran were taking over all of Oklahoma farmland for organized crime, and I fought back with my America First agenda. I'll keep fighting back for Oklahoman.
Sure.
But yes, they kept running that ad. I guess we're just the demographic, I guess.
I suppose. I can't help where my IP address pings from.
But all that to say, Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
It's delightful.
It's pleasant. It's a pleasant time. But that, I think, will bring us to the end of our show.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to say thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us through this episode and maybe all of these episodes. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've been here for 39 episodes and bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you for that.
We're coming up on a year of this show, aren't we?
Yeah, I want to say we started in November. We've missed a few, which is why it's not nearing 52.
Uh-huh.
But I do want to say it was November.
I'm looking.
That we started.
I was thinking about that. It was November 10th.
Wow. A little over a month.
I guess November 19th is when our first full episode came out. Or no, November 12th. November 12th.
November 12th.
FML and DuckTales.
What a wild trip it's been.
Ooh, your first Batman and Robin Year One best book was episode 3.
Not surprising. It's been good for a while, and the last book is about to come out. But yeah, so I just want to thank you for sticking with us through all this time. This has been Comics Palooza, and you can find us again next week at the same turtle time and the same bat channel.